Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
If you were to describe the most beautiful place in the world, what would you select? The Dolomites in Italy? The Swiss Alps? Butchered Gardens in Victoria, British Columbia? A garden of incredible beauty? Perhaps you would describe a beach in the Philippines or the peak of a sunset over rolling fields of grain. James Michener described the South Seas island of Bora Bora as the most beautiful place in the world. To single out the most beautiful place in the world would be a tough assignment, right? When my wife and I visited Keukenhof Gardens in Holland, the tulips were at their peak, and I would have to rate that as one of the most beautiful places I have ever seen. The 24 major distributors of tulip bulbs in the Netherlands joined together in designing a garden containing more than 6 million tulips in a pattern of indescribable beauty. In this garden, which is open to the public for only 8 weeks of the year, there are tulips as large as a man's hand in shades of salmon, flaming red, deep purple, and yellow, with varieties that mix all of these colors as indiscriminately as a small child would his watercolors. Okay, there are some beautiful places in the world, right? We agree. But, and are you ready for this? The most beautiful spot in this world pales in comparison to the beauty which I expect to find in heaven at the end of my life. Why? Well, for a start, take your Bible and read Revelation 21 and 22, the last two chapters in the book. This tells about streets of gold and gates of pearl and jewels which are considered so precious and expensive that jewelers keep them in steel vaults with alarm systems and guards aimed at protecting them. But you say, that's hard to understand because I've never seen anything like so much gold as you could pave the street with it, or diamonds large enough you don't need a magnifying glass to see them. Right, I understand that. John, in writing about this, also knew it would be hard for us to comprehend. So he began to explain what is not going to be in heaven. For example, if you told an Eskimo about the tropics, which he had never seen, it might be hard for him to comprehend. But if you told him, in the tropics, you will never ever be cold again, never have to shovel snow, you won't worry about ice and snow, then he could begin to understand. What will not be in heaven? No hypodermic needles or antibiotics. No cemeteries or funeral plots, such as I saw some time ago called Babyland. In heaven there will be no death or dying, no goodbyes, flowers will not fade, and rivers will not freeze. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the incandescent bulb, was never one to waste words. On the day of his wedding, he disappeared only to be found working in his laboratory. When he lay dying, his wife and doctor leaned over to catch his last words. With a smile, he clearly and distinctly said, "It is beautiful, beautiful over there." Friend, the place that Christ went to prepare is beautiful beyond description. But the Bible never suggests that everyone goes there at the end of his life, that if you simply do the best you can, when you die, God will let you in. The same book that tells about heaven speaks of a place of torment which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. There can be no heaven without a hell. In the same passage that talks of heaven's beauty, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.